The Longhorn Confidential Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. This is the Longhorn Confidential for Thursday, January 9th. I'm Danny Davis, the Austin American Statesman. Happy New Year to all you Texas fans out there. As always, I'm joined by Mike Craven. Mike, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
We're back, and we're back with more recruiting talk. But before we start talking about Texas, and the focus of today's podcast is going to be kind of the Longhorns at the Under Armour game last week. But we're going to start off in Waco and kind of talking about the big Big 12 news this week. Obviously, Matt Rhule is heading to Carolina. Personally, Mike, I don't quite understand this move, but I know maybe I'm in the minority there.
You understand it for Matt Rhule, though.
Of course, I understand it for Matt Rhule. Congratulations to him. You get that opportunity and that kind of money, you take it. I'm not quite sure if his resume necessarily warrants the praise that he is been heaped upon, but you know, maybe if he had returned one of my phone calls, I'd be a lot more willing to praise him from a media standpoint. But obviously that's a big news, and it has big impacts on Baylor itself. But my question is, how does this impact recruiting? Because it's not like Baylor was going, they were doing astronomical when it came to recruiting. Your Tuesday dotted line column on hook'em.com reflected that they are ranked last among the Big 12 teams, even though they were the runner-up this year and they had, double-digit wins. So maybe there had been some momentum there, but they only signed 12 during the early signing period, had a couple more commits. But how does this impact the Bears? Were they trending in the right direction, or is this going to be kind of just, it's going to be business as usual, nothing really changed that much?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of, or maybe not a lot, but definitely at least a half dozen, guys in the state that are good players, about four in the Fab 55, that didn't sign in December because of this reason. They were kind of waiting and seeing on Baylor. Matt Rhule apparently was pretty open about, to the recruits about, kind of him looking around. I talked to Princely Umanamilan from Manor, and, he said Matt Rhule never lied to him, and, one of the reasons he kind of wanted to wait and see in December was, see if Matt Rhule was going to be there. So they had a chance to sign like Malik Hornsby, quarterback for Fort Bend Marshall. Alfred Collins was looking hard at Baylor. Princely, like I just mentioned. So there were some guys who didn't sign in December that are legit Texas players that I think would have ended up at Baylor had Matt Rhule stayed there. And now it gives guys like Texas A&M, Oklahoma, another shot at maybe some of those players. And there could be releases given, for guys who sign early in the signing period now that their head coach is gone. And so it definitely could be a free-for-all. When I looked at the rankings over these last couple months, it felt like a hint. Mm-hmm. You kept looking at it, and you're like, how is this possible? How is Baylor doing so well and behind Kansas State in recruiting? And so I think it offered a little glimpse into what Matt Rhule was thinking, and then obviously the news broke, and it made more sense then. And I think one of the reasons he took the job is he doesn't like to recruit.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the things Matt Rhule kind of was honest about, was he didn't like the rat race of recruiting, especially with the early signing period and how that goes. So in the NFL, I think maybe it just fits better with his personality style.
Now, there is a separate conversation to be had about, what happens when a coach leaves after the early signing period and whether or not those recruits should be able to reopen their recruitment if they do want to, because, there still are limited slots out there. I don't know if every one of those kids who had signed would want to be back out in the market. I think there's a difference in when a coach leaves as opposed to, something like Mississippi State where the school fires the coach.
Right.
Those are kind of two different situations. But, let's say Baylor says, okay, guys, and this is also, to be clear, a different situation than what happened a few years ago with the Art Briles
right.
situation.
Right.
Those are two completely different things. But let's say Baylor says, all right, this is not what you guys signed up for. If you guys want to stay, we'll honor your scholarship. If you want to leave, we're not going to stand in your way. Could Texas pounce on any of these recruits? Were any of these guys, recruits that Texas wanted to, but they just decided, hey, we wanted to, kind of ride what was going on in Waco?
Yeah, Tay McWilliams. He's a running back linebacker from Rosenberg. He was a guy who received a late offer who stuck with Baylor because they were doing so well. And then James Sylvester is the best player in their class. I don't know if necessarily Texas would get in on that. He's from Newton, a 2A school out in East Texas. But he's a Fab 55 member in that class that a lot of people would like. He was committed to TCU until about 2 weeks before early signing period. And then a local guy is Jahdae Barron. He plays cornerback at Pflugerville. Connolly, he signed with Baylor. He's a four-star guy. I think he's incredibly underrated as a cornerback, and he could be a player that gets a ton of attention because the early signing period makes guys who don't sign even more valuable. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll start seeing that as years go on and people start learning this new process. Like, if you wait, you become the bell of the ball because everybody's gone, and all of a sudden now, you know, you're one of five cornerbacks available instead of one of 100. And so, if Baylor releases them or if they can figure out a way to get out of those scholarships, if they want to, then there's going to be plenty of players that are wanted by Big 12 schools, by Texas, across the nation.
Now, this Matt's decision to go to the NFL kind of reflects, something that's talked about a lot. And, this is a business. Mm-hmm. People make decisions to benefit their career and their family. And, I don't think that they should be shamed for necessarily doing that, because that's something that I would do. That's something that you would do. Yep. That's something that, most of our listeners would do. But this does impact the players that they are leaving behind. And one thing that you often hear when this happens is, well, these players need to learn that they should be committing to a school and not a coach. And that's, said when coaches are fired, as, happened with Texas, with its assistants being let go, or, recent situation at Baylor with Matt Rhule. But that's really easy for me to say.
Yes.
It is really easy for you to say. I thought Kenyatta Watson's father this week on Twitter made a good point saying, it's easy to say, but, you're not the ones with these coaches in your living room recruiting you and, having your kid, fall in love with these coaches and, want to run through walls for these coaches. It's a lot easier said than done. So, my question is, when you're talking to the recruits and you're hearing from their parents and these kids, how hard is it for the recruits to, quote unquote, commit to a school, not a coach?
Yeah, in theory, they know that it's a business and that it's unlikely they're going to go 4 or 5 years without an assistant coach change at the very least. But when it's your head coach, that's totally different. I've taken a job because of the boss before, mm-hmm. right? Your boss plays an important part in your job. And if I took a job at the Statesman and then the guy who hired me at the Statesman was gone in 6 months, I'd feel different about the state. Where do I stand with the new person? There's so much that goes into that, not just a personality factor, but where you fit in scheme. Like take when Charlie Strong left and, that kind of stuff, Shane Buechele. Mm-hmm. When Tom Herman came in, Shane Buechele's not a bad quarterback. He's just not at all what Tom Herman wants in a quarterback. So there's also those questions that come into it too. Like, how do you fit in with the program? And when you have coaches in your living room telling you to come be part of this family and that we're going to do this together and this is, it's us against the world, and then they leave, there's got to be a feeling of disappointment and abandonment. I think that's human nature, and we got to remember they're not adults like we are. These are teenagers that they're football players. They're college students as well, but they're at Baylor because Matt Rhule or whoever recruited them to Baylor.
Yeah.
And that's a tough transition to go through and not know kind of who your next boss is going to be.
Yeah, once again, it's easy to judge the actions of a 17-year-old or give them advice that we may not necessarily, use ourselves. Because like you said, if I took a new job tomorrow, part of that process would be, who am I working for?
Yep.
And, if that person left a month after I signed with them, that'd be tough, and that'd definitely be kind of making me rethink my decisions. And
especially if you had like 10 options.
Yeah.
Right? You say you get out of college and you have 10 options of jobs, and they're all equal. Pay, all that kind of stuff is equal, because in college it is, right? On paper, mm-hmm. it's all equal. The only things that separate are campus life, coaching, and the players. Like, those are the only things that are different at each of these schools, is how you get along with those people and the people on campus. And your head coach is a huge part of that. He sets the culture. He sets the tone of everything. Then he's gone. And if you don't hire from within, it could be a whole different thing than you signed up for. And that's tough. As adults, we're allowed the flexibility to go, we don't like this, we're going to move to a different job. Nobody judges us for that. Mm-hmm. But a 20-year-old does it, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, what, you know, they're entitled. It's like, no, they're human.
I think that's enough Baylor talk for us. We've spent about 10 minutes on the Bears. So let's move on down from Waco. You know, Mike, you got to ring in the new year in lovely Orlando, Florida.
Chain restaurant heaven.
Got to go spend a lot of time at the Under Armour All-American festivities, and you brought back some audio. You know, I would have appreciated a shot glass or a postcard as a souvenir, but, you know, you brought me back some audio, so I guess all beggars can't be choosers. Let's hear what some future Longhorns had to say while participating in these events in Orlando. Batting leadoff is Lake Travis quarterback Hudson Card, and let's hear what Hudson had to say.
So I guess, you know, first question, just how fun is this, right? I mean, compared to like a normal practice week.
No, it's really fun. I mean, just getting together with all the guys and meeting new people is cool. And then obviously the speed of the game and everything is a lot faster. So just adjusting to that, and I mean, it's a cool experience.
What's some of the feedback you've gotten from these coaches? You know, these are some of the guys that I know a ton about football. Kind of what's your feedback?
Yeah, I mean, they're great coaches. I mean, they gave us tips here and there, and a lot of it too is just trying to learn the playbook and everything, because we have limited time. But they're very helpful, and I'm trying to take in everything.
Does the offense you run at Lake Travis make these adjustments a little bit easier? I feel like just watching practice, it kind of felt like you're doing some of the same things.
No, definitely. I mean, some of the plays are even the same as Lake Travis, a couple of them. Obviously, they're a little different, but I mean, yeah, I mean, Lake Travis prepares you for the next level and things like this, so it's been cool.
What's it like getting to be around some teammates? I saw Jake snapping to you earlier, so kind of like, how fun's that?
No, it's cool. It's a little preview for the future, and yeah, Jake's really cool. Gotten to know him better here as well, and yeah, I'm excited.
You and Keaton talk trash yet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's gonna get you.
I know. He's on the other team though, so I guess we'll see.
You're enrolling early. Mm-hmm. New offensive coordinator just got hired. Kind of, what are your expectations in that first month or two?
I mean, just go in there and compete, and just do the best that I can do, and just learn from Sam and the other guys, and just go in there and get bigger and get stronger and faster, and just try to improve my game.
When Sam got there, it was kind of like there wasn't a quarterback, you know, so like he kind of got thrust into stuff. Is it a luxury to know that next year you kind of just get to learn a little bit and adjust?
No, yeah, I think it's cool. I know learning from Sam will be a big help, and it'll give me time to get my body right and get bigger and everything, so I'll be more prepared. But I mean, yeah, I think it'll be a good experience, and I'm excited.
All right, man.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
absolutely,
appreciate
man.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike Hudson. He walked the talk, or walked the walk, or however that cliche goes. But he threw a touchdown pass in the actual All-Star game, gave kind of Texas fans a glimpse of, you know, what may happen down the road. Who else stood out in the game, in that All-Star game? Not just UT recruits, because there's, you know, they all aren't UT recruits, but right. Who kind of stood out in Orlando?
You know, I kind of always focus on the state of Texas kids, just because that's who I know and watch and stuff. So I was really impressed by Chad Lindbergh, the offensive tackle out of Clear Creek that's committed to Georgia. He was a Texas target early on. He plays at a school that doesn't win a lot of football games, and it's kind of, you know, outside of Houston, so it doesn't get a ton of talk and headlines. And so he played really well and looked the part. Damian George from North Shore, another offensive lineman, looked really good out there. And then Zach Evans, the running back who missed the state championship game for Galena Park North Shore and has a lot of stuff going around him that maybe we'll talk about later. But he looked really good, and it was fun to see him kind of back playing football. And then the Texas guys, I think Hudson was the best one out of it. Keaton Crawford also looked good because he can play so many positions. But you can tell Hudson comes from an offense where it's sophisticated and he knows what he's doing. There's not as much thought process for him as a lot of these young quarterbacks. He already knew the playbook. It was basically his playbook, and he talked about that in the interview. And so he was able to go out there, be really decisive. And the practices probably tell you more than the game. Practices are where you really get to watch these guys and stuff. And him and Haynes King, the quarterback for A&M, were definitely the top two quarterbacks there.
You just mentioned Zach Evans. Obviously, a lot of headlines, not all good, surrounding him over the past couple of weeks. Obviously, a very talented running back, maybe indeed the best running back in the nation. But was he the main storyline down there? Was he kind of what everyone was focusing on, or were there a couple of other storylines that people kind of gravitated towards?
Yeah, he definitely dominated the week in terms of talk, and it's unfortunate because we want these guys to be, we were just talking about this with the Waco stuff, right? We want these guys to be 30-year-old, 35, 40-year-old. You want them to be like us. Mm-hmm. You know, you want them to be on the same plane as us. They're not. They're teenagers, and he's made some mistakes. He's owned that. It's not like he's acting like he didn't make a few mistakes, none of them being criminal. Now, hopefully he figures it out, and it sounds like Georgia is no longer, an option for him. So that kind of opens up, that to other schools. And I think right now he's just a kid that's figuring it out, that lacks a little guidance, and watching the adults kind of take pleasure in that was unfortunate. That was kind of a weird part of the week. But yeah, he was definitely the main storyline, just because it's so rare for a guy that talented to not have a home right now, and he has to figure that out.
Yeah, there's a strange thing about general fandom. I mean, there's definite kids that I root for and that I want to succeed and that I genuinely like, but I just cannot get the concept of rooting against a 17, 18, right. 19, go up to 22, 23. Like, I don't get that concept, but I guess
they're going to be your neighbors one day.
Yeah, I just don't know why, like, you want someone to fail at that young of an age.
And if you're off track at that young of an age, it's probably not because you were born that way. Mm-hmm. There's probably circumstances around you, Zach or otherwise, that are different, that are harder, that maybe the public doesn't know about. And we need to start kind of looking at it through a prism that's not our own when we're judging some of these young people, because we all made young, stupid mistakes. Now imagine the spotlight being on you since you were 15. Mm-hmm. And everybody knowing about those dumb mistakes, instead of just your dad or your mom being mad at you, you got Twitter talking about it. It's just a different level of pressure that most of us have never dealt with in our lives.
All right, next up in our interview car wash, we got two back-to-back. We got Prosper offensive lineman Jake Majors and then Syridge defensive tackle Vernon Broughton. So let's hear what they were chatting about down in Orlando.
So being out here, right, like, how much different is it than, like, high school competition?
Oh, man, it's crazy. I get to go against some of the best D-tackles in the nation, Dexter and Roy. Those guys are some dogs, and I get better every rep, I'm enjoying it. It's challenging moving to center, but I'm getting the hang of it. I'm doing good. I'm just trusting my coaches, just picking up every nugget I can from these guys, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, how hard is that? Not only to go against some of the best players in the nation, but also do it in a place that you haven't played before.
It's a tremendous adjustment. It's just, there's a lot of different stuff. First things first, snap the ball.
Right.
I haven't done that.
Some people think offensive line is offensive line. It's
a different thing. From tackle to guard to center, it's all different, And I know I got to adjust to snapping the ball before I do anything. So that's a big adjustment. And then also just different sets that I did at tackle, I don't do that. I do different sets at center. So just adjustments is all I got to do.
What's it like snapping the ball to a future quarterback?
I love it. It's the future center QB combo at Texas. So we're getting the hang of things right now.
How much do these things just help build camaraderie and just kind of just having fun, right? We always talk about the football and the pressure, but you're signed. Most of these guys are signed. What's it like just to hang out and get to know them?
I love it. I'm rooming with Chad Lindbergh. It sucks he's not coming to Texas, but that's my guy.
Right.
We don't.
Shipley's donuts.
We don't really care about. We don't really care about the college stuff. We just hang out. We're best buds, And I hang out with Hudson, Chandler Morris, all those guys. Walker Parks. We don't really talk about college, We're just here to have fun, get to know each other, and have long-term relationships.
So for you, kind of, I guess, what's it like being out here with the best of the best and just getting to learn and grow?
Be honest, for me, I think I'm doing pretty well going against the best O-linemen. I think I'm doing pretty good just taking in stuff, learning from coaches, learning new plays. Not new plays, but, plays for the game. So, I think I'm doing pretty good. So, yeah, sir.
You're one of the biggest defensive ends out here, clearly. How much do you think your size and your athleticism help you in that combination?
In a great way, because nothing wrong on like the tackles, but like, I mean, I think I have a burst on it, like, because whenever I'm running, they try to kick back like just fast. But I mean, I think it's great, to be honest. So, hey, in my thighs, like, yeah, you feel me?
So, a new defense coordinator at Texas, kind of have you talked to him, and what has the conversations been like?
Be honest, I heard he told me they run the four downs. So I mean, I don't care where I play. I just want to get on the field. So, like, hey, I heard he a good dude. I mean, he sounds like a good dude to me. So, like, hey, I'm ready to play. Sorry.
What made Texas kind of a destination for you, even with some changes and different stuff like that? Kind of what made you so comfortable with being in Austin?
Closer to home. Coach Josh, he's been on me. I mean, he's been on me, I think, after A&M offered me. Now I was at Spring Woods. That's like the first year I started playing football. He's been on me since then. So, I mean, it's been a long journey with him, like just talking to him, getting to know him. But, yeah, he's one of the first few coaches to offer me. So we built the bond, just different stuff like that. But, yeah.
How excited are you to kind of be enrolled, kind of be done? You know, this is kind of your last thing as a high school, you know, kid. How excited are you for the challenges up ahead and moving to Austin and just kind of starting your college career?
Be honest, I'm ready to get to Austin because I'm ready to get in that weight room and just work. Hey, boy, stop playing with me. But, yeah, I'm ready to get there.
So, as an early enrollee, how much opportunity do you think that gives you getting to go through offseason, getting to go through spring and learn this new defense?
I think huge. That's all I got to say. That's 5 months.
Right.
That's the one of the reasons why I want to. Actually, my mom, thank you, God, for her. I'm going to be honest, I love that woman to death. It wasn't for her, just like football, my sophomore year, ain't none of this would be happening. But she one who forced me into it. I mean, at first, I didn't want to go through with it, but, like, to graduate early. Mm-hmm. But, like, when I started seeing it junior, now senior year, I mean, it's a blessing because it's, like, 5 months. Like, dude, like, I'm going to be up on these kids that's going to come up,
right,
come in after high school. So, like,
that's basically be a sophomore.
Basically, yeah. Like, I'm being huge.
Right.
Getting to know the system, getting to know the coaches, getting to know the players, like how things roll, what to do, what not to do, and just different things like that. So, yeah.
How important was your mom and just family and just making the decision through this process? I know it can be really frustrating. So how nice was it to have people who care about you around?
It's beyond, it's a blessing because my mama, Yolanda Wells Brighton, I love that woman to death. If she wasn't here, I wouldn't be doing this football stuff because, bro, I'm sure you already heard, like, how I started playing my sophomore year. Yeah. She had put me into it. Like, she had basically, what's up, Chad? She basically, like, said, try it out. I tried it out. Look what I'm
here
in.
Like,
hey.
Mom's no best, man.
Yeah, I love that woman. Yeah. My dad, he's been, I ain't gonna lie, he's been in and out, but he's still in my ear. I love him, too. And, yeah. So, yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Mike, one thing that I think we can use to judge a man's character is how much he loves his mother.
Yep.
And shout out to Vernon. Shout out to his mother. That is a young man who loves his mama, and I love to hear that. That genuinely brought a smile to my face when I heard that audio.
Vernon Broughton is one of the happiest young men I've ever met in my life. One of the most comfortable and biggest smile. You know, not only are high schoolers usually pretty shy when you put a camera in front of them or, you know, a little recording device because they don't want to say the wrong thing. But big guys are as well because they haven't really accepted their bigness yet. You know, they're not around other huge people. So they're, you know, a lot of big guys can be a little shy when they're young. Vernon is not one of those humans. He has a huge smile on his face all the time. He's always talking to anybody that'll listen, and I'm rooting for him a lot.
You know, with these guys all getting around each other and getting to spend, I don't know how long they were down there, let's say a week or whatever. Yeah. You know, how big is that for some of these teammates? We kind of mentioned Jake and Hudson both mentioned getting into, you know, Jake snapped into Hudson and kind of getting into bond a little bit on the field. But, you know, for these kids, three of them who are going to be on campus in a couple days when all the early enrollees report, you know, how big is it for them to kind of get a bond at these events? Or is it not that big of a deal?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a big deal in terms of, like, you know, because they're already signed and going to a college. So, I mean, they kind of have to get along or at least, like, deal with each other for the next 4 or 5 years. But, it's got to be, especially if you're enrolling early, like Hudson and Jake are, and Vernon, you know, next week when they're unpacking their bags and their parents leave and they don't know anybody, they know each other. You know, they kind of already know each other, know what each other are about and all that kind of stuff. And so at least there's some familiar faces and you're not just, you know, by yourself at orientation or by yourself at the freshman meetings. At least it's some guys that you've known and your parents know and their parents know. And that I think that definitely helps a little bit early, kind of ease that, the toughness of being a freshman.
The All-Star games have changed a little bit because of the early signing day, in the sense that there's not a lot of these kids are uncommitted.
Right.
Even if they didn't sign in December, a lot of them are secretly signed.
Yes.
And just waiting to kind of announce and get their day in the spotlight. But you know, back in our day, when we kind of first got in this business, you know, a lot of these were kind of like recruiting events.
Yeah.
And not so much for the coaches, but the players. And, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon to hear a story of a kid who went to one of these All-Star games and fell in love. He was a receiver and just fell in love with, playing football with a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And was like, you know, this is what I kind of want to do. Or, you know, had a good roommate situation or kind of liked hanging out with a couple guys. And was like, you know, I'm going to go, play there. A couple of recruits know that this guy's on their school's radar. And, you know, they make it their mission. This week we're going to do nothing but, you know, Texas is awesome. Texas is awesome. Right. Texas is awesome. So with that kind of said, does much recruiting go on between these players now, or since a lot of these kids are committed and signed, you know, this is just a week for these guys to have fun and recruiting really isn't a thing as much anymore?
It's mostly a week to have fun because, like you said, they're all signed. And also recruiting has become so public in the last 4 or 5 years with Twitter and social media that I think they all kind of respect each other's privacy and just want to leave each other. You know, they get pushed in so many directions themselves. So they don't want to be that guy to other people. Mm-hmm. Where that happens more now is the camps, like the opening final and some of those rivals camps and stuff like that in the summer. That's when you'll get 3 or 4 Ohio State guys showing up to a camp and, you know, they're clearly talking to so-and-so, or, you know, you'll ask the Texas commit, kind of, who are you trying to get to know here, you know, and they'll tell you kind of who they're in the ear of. So now with it being so far moved up and the summer being kind of that main period for committing, the spring and summer camps have kind of replaced these All-Star camps as like ground zero for recruiting your peers.
All right, finally, Mike ran down Tyler cornerback Keaton Crawford. Got some Beast Texas love up in this podcast. Let's hear what Keaton had to say as he, you know, looks forward to his future at Texas.
So for you, I mean, I guess, first of all, what's it like being recognized as one of the best players in the country out here?
You know, it's an honor, you know, to be out here in an All-American game. You know, a lot of people don't get the opportunity, you know, come play here. You know, I'm honored to be out here to play today.
You know, East Texas doesn't get maybe the recognition that Houston and Dallas does. Mm-hmm. So, like, at these kind of places, how important is it to kind of, like, represent for your area?
You know, it's very important, you know, put my where I live on a map. You know, I'm representing my city, my school. You know, as Deion said, representing my family, my last name. You know, you just gotta put on for my family. You know, my East Texas. Just make sure I represent.
You know, you've always been a versatile player. I saw you playing some nickel and stuff. Like, how important is it to you to be able to play multiple spots?
You know, it's always good to, you know, have multiple positions, you know, in your pocket. You know, because, you know, like, a lot of, you know, coaches like, you know, players that can play multiple positions. You know, both sides, you know, it's not always good, you know, have one position, you know, locked in one position. My DB coach, he was telling me, like, where I'm going to make my money at, and, you know, that's nickel, you know, strong safety. And I was just talking to him, you know, and it made sense because, you know, if you're like a, you know, like player that can play both sides, you know, that's real good.
What have maybe you learned about yourself out here, you know, or does this build confidence hanging with these guys? Kind of, I guess, what's the measuring stick like?
It does build confidence because, you know, like, when I got selected here to, you know, come here, I was like, you know, why me, you know? Am I good enough to come here, you know, good enough to play here? But it does build my confidence, you know, represent for East Texas.
What's it like having guys like Deion Sanders, Ed Reed? You know, I know you're younger than me, but for me, those are legends. So, yeah. Kind of, what's it like, you know, kind of having those guys on the field?
I mean, it's fun, you know, to see legends, you know, because meet new people. It's very fun. It's exciting, really.
How excited are you to just have the signature done, have all the recruiting out of the way, and just, you know, kind of focus on being a kid?
It's really relaxing. You know, I'm not being a kid, you know. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's
I mean, a high schooler.
Yeah, high school. Yeah, yeah. It's relaxing, you know, that, you know, all the recruiting process is done. Sign a piece of paper. Good up, man. straight.
I need you, Vernon.
I know I got you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's exciting, really.
So at Texas, you know, kind of new coaching staff, some of that kind of stuff on the defensive side. Kind of, have you talked to those guys yet? Or
I talked to the defensive coordinator. I think they hired a dude from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to him yet, though.
What was the conversation like with Chris Ash, the new DC?
Just getting to meet him, you know, just getting to, he just told me, you know, I'm ready to meet you, you know, ready to get you down here to Austin, you know, come play and stuff.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Stay healthy.
Like, obviously, the Under Armour game isn't the only All-Star game. There's whatever they're calling the
All-American
known
Bowl.
As Army All-American Bowl down in San Antonio. Both prestigious, both obviously the former Army game has a lot more history, but it's a big deal to be invited to either one of these games. And for the kids who are invited to both, which happens often, mm-hmm. Why do they flock to one game or another? I assume a lot of the Texas kids who grew up in the state want to go to Orlando just because they've been to San Antonio enough. But why do kids pick one or the other?
Well, like you said, you know, kind of they each have their own draw and put, you know, like Orlando, you know, it has Disney World and all that kind of stuff. I think it's probably an easier draw for your parents and family if you have younger siblings. You know, I'm sure it's a great time. San Antonio with the history, and they still do, even though it's not sponsored by Army, they still do a good job of keeping the military involved and inviting them and doing stuff around city, because San Antonio is kind of a city based around the military for a large part. So, you know, shoes, shirts, you know, it's as simple as gear, you know, and a lot of the camps early on, guys get to know whoever's, you know, because each site kind of runs different. These different camps, like ESPN picks the guys for the Under Armour thing. I think 24/7 does now, mm-hmm. For the one in San Antonio. So some of that's just relationships, who you're closest with and stuff. And so it all works out in the end. And I don't know. I guess each kid probably has a different criteria, but it does seem like the Texas guys want to go to Orlando, and then San Antonio is a place where a lot of the dudes from out of town like to come because it's warmer and there is more prestige and history, like you said.
What's kind of the media? This is what I care about. What's kind of the media setup and at the Under? I've done the Army game a few times, so I kind of know what the lay of the land there. But you know, what's kind of the media deal in Orlando? Is it pretty accessible? Is it pretty a fun event to cover?
Yeah, I mean, it's solid. You know, after practice, you kind of get a free for all. You know, they try to take requests and stuff, but there's so many families and kids and stuff out there that you basically, you know, just kind of have to go find them and corral them. But they do a good job. It's better than the camps because they know the kids are signed and, you know, all that kind of, they're kind of adults now at this point by the time, mm-hmm. you know, it gets to the, and what's nice about these camps for me is by this time I know them all. I talk to Hudson all the time, Vernon all, you know, so like it's not as hard to get interviews as it is early in the cycle when you're still trying to chase guys down and explain why you're chasing them down.
Explain to them. More importantly, their parents know you.
Right,
too,
exactly.
So they're not wondering, who is that guy trailing my kid?
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, they do a good job because, you know, they need it. They want you out there. The problem is you always have to compete with whoever the franchise is, right? So, like, in Orlando, ESPN runs that. Mm-hmm. They're putting it on TV and stuff. So ESPN, you have to, like, wait. If they want somebody, you have to wait for everything, you know, for them to get through their interviews and their videos and all their different stuff. But that's part of it. They're paying for it, so they get it. You know, I totally understand. Print deadline's a little different these days, so it's not too bad.
I guess we just took y'all behind the curtain, but
a lot of hotel time.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
get it, rack up those Marriott points.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about. I think it's time to get out. I did not expect this podcast to last half an hour today, but it did. So hope you all enjoyed what we had to offer today. And don't forget to shoot us a review at the Apple Store and the Google Podcast app. We sure do appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in each week. We'll be back next week with a new podcast. The Longhorn Confidential Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's. Take and check it into a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. We will see you next week.
Peace.